This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They produced some of the finest talent in Atlanta sports radio history.
Get over it!
Covered the best teams this city has to offer.
Going to bed and taking a nap.
And now, it's time to take their turn at the mic.
Wah, 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 wah.
It's time for The Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Chris.
Oh, what's up, Atlanta? A very happy Saturday afternoon to all of you. A little nippy out there, but Dom Taroski on the other side. I'm still wearing my usual fare, a t-shirt and shorts, because I don't feel it. Because I'm from New York, where this is climate weather for this time of year. So I'm not going to be too worried when I step outside at 7 o'clock to meet myself, get an Uber, and go see the lady friend, and I'm standing outside at Colony Square. I'm not worried. I'm not worried, man. This weather is going to be here to stay, and we'll embrace it, and we'll get through it. I know the Kansas City Chiefs just embraced it because despite a scary scene and our thoughts and prayers to Tank Dell, they they did it again, Dom. Damn it. The Chiefs just don't lose football games. It really is unbelievable. It really is. So we have an absolute ton to get into today. Will McFadden's going to stop by at the bottom of the hour at 4:40, and then we'll get more coverage coming in here of the NFL as the show rolls along. Because, hey, Dom, pretty big game for your guys this week.
Yeah.
And I see you're rocking your Pittsburgh Steelers hat. Can Lamar slay the dragon?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope not. We're pretty banged up coming into this one, so we'll see how we work it out. But we seem to have Lamar Jackson's number, so we'll see what happens.
And then we got, of course, the college football playoff underway. The Fighting Mike Conti's taking a huge bit. They slapped SMU around, man. SMU was not ready for that game, and it showed. And everybody's out here now being and complaining about the conference alignments. And
Bama should have made
it
in.
Yeah, and Bama should be in. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Clemson and Texas, and that's getting underway right now. And should Clemson have strolled in with, you know, winning the ACC, three losses and all that? So we'll see. Listen, I think the college football playoff is going to be a lot of fun. I think that first game was an anomaly. And it should be noted that there's some really, really good matchups coming up, not just this weekend, but as this thing plays out. We now know, last night we found out, Dom, that Georgia's taking on the Fighting Irish, who, again, handily sort of slapped around Indiana a little bit. Kurt Cignetti, the raging D of the year, certainly showed his true colors last night as well. So it's just been an absolute blast. There really has been. There's been Hawks spread out in between. Atlanta United hires a new manager. So, you know, I know the holiday season is upon us, but the sports calendar is absolutely raging right now. And that brings me to this. I preambled, got all the headlines out of the way. We'll keep you posted on all of the game action that goes on. And I'm taking you up until Hawks pregame on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. These rumors and speculation and innuendo and bull crappery that's going on about our Atlanta Falcons right now. I don't need it. Listen, I tweeted this out and I got a large response. One of my more engaged with tweets. And I think people were just feeling what I was saying. And if you haven't seen it, go find me at C. Thomas Radio. If you care one iota about the status of Kirk Cousins and his contract, your head is in the sand. The Atlanta Falcons are playing three games over the next 3 weeks that will decide if a seven-year playoff drought is broken. I know. I read both stories cover to cover, front to back, twice over. This morning, Adam Schefter, or late last night, reported that the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins could be parting ways before March. Why? Because there's a $10 million kicker that'll kick in if they don't release him before, I believe the date is March 17th. And if they don't do that, they're going to owe him an extra $10 million. His salary for next season is $27 million. And then that's all the guaranteed money that's left on the deal. So Schefter reported this morning that the Falcons are likely, league sources are telling him that the Falcons are likely to part ways with Kirk because they don't want to pay that extra $10 million. Then, a couple hours later, Mr. Pro Football Talk comes out with his own article, and it's a complete rebuttal of what Adam Schefter said. He says that nothing has been decided. They could even wind up keeping Kirk Cousins next year as a backup quarterback. I don't see that necessarily, but that's what Florio's reporting. And that the $10 million kicker has nothing to do with their decision-making. They will not make their decision based on that kicker because Kirk is only making $27 million next year. That's a bargain if you look at Mahomes, if you look at Goff and Hurts and all the guys that have gotten paid. So what's the reasoning then? Well, Kirk has a little thing called a blanket no trade clause, Dom, where he can veto any trade that is put before him. So if a team, essentially this, ladies and gentlemen, if a team that's not a contender or a team that has an established quarterback comes to them and says, hey, we want to trade for Kirk Cousins, Kirk can just be like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do what Daniel Jones did and go to the Vikings where, you know I have no chance to start because Sam Darnold is having a Pro Bowl season. So conflicting reports about Kirk Cousins, his status. Is he going to be a backup next year? Is he going to be on the team? Is he going to be somebody that sticks around for a couple more years, even though all the guaranteed money is off of his contract as of next season? They owe him $27 million more, and that $10 million kicker at the start of the new league year, which, again, I believe is somewhere around March 17th. So that's what's happened, if you missed it, over the past few weeks. With Kirk essentially becoming the focal point of the NFL after his demotion, benching, whatever you want to call it. And here we are going into a game tomorrow with Michael Penix Jr. making his first start. Now, what I believe is this, and Dom, I want to get your opinion on this. You should not give a crap about Kirk Cousins and his contract. You should not care. It doesn't matter. You know what matters? How Michael Penix Jr. does on Sunday. You know what matters? Can Caleb McGarry block the blind side of Michael Penix Jr.? Is Bijan Robinson going to be as effective when they know that he's coming? Because you get a rook in there, you know you're feeding your all-pro running back the ball. So, Dom, did this story catch your eye? Is it something that you're entertaining as we move through Falcons land? Because for me, it's just not.
I thought it was funny when I first saw the report because I was like, duh. Like, I wouldn't expect them to keep him. But then also, my second thought was, why are we talking about stuff that's not going to have an impact on this team until March. Like, the season's still ongoing. Like, this team still has a chance to win the division. There are other things that, like, there's more important things to focus
on. Right. If this was the Raiders, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. If this was the Giants, yeah, I get it. The Jets with Aaron Rodgers, okay. This team is competing for a playoff spot. Hello. Hello. We are competing for a playoff berth. Michael Penix Jr. was put in. This isn't a see what he has spot. This isn't a let's find out what the rook can do situation. This is, we believe that Michael Penix Jr. gives us the best chance to win football games right now. That's what this is. This is, we have three games left. We don't control our own destiny. And I'm putting in an emphasis right now to say, hey, Rook, we need you. This isn't a situation where Michael Penix Jr. is going to be able to just go, you know, willy-nilly and fling the ball down the field 50 times. I hope to see some of that as part of the game plan. But this is going to be a measured, controlled approach to try to get this team into the playoffs. So, honestly, Falcons Nation, the last thing we should be thinking about right now is what they're going to do with Kirk Cousins' contract next year. I could give a crap about what they're doing with Kirk Cousins and his contract next year. I don't care anymore. I'm sorry. Football is a brutal business, and we've said it 1,000 times. I feel like this has become, Tom, the thing. Whenever you talk about Kirk Cousins, you have to start by saying, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Great teammate, great leader, all those things. Like, you cannot say anything
about
Kirk.
Yeah, you got to qualify it first.
You have to put in all of the, and you have to put in three or four of them. And that's fine, because he is all of those things. But at the same time, he had 12 fumbles, 16 interceptions, lost four games in a row, and in the fifth game that he won, he looked awful. So that's what it's about, people. Like, this is a business. This is a production-based business. Now, it just so happened that there was no attachment to Marcus Mariota. There was no attachment to Desmond Ridder. So when they didn't get the job done, it didn't matter. We grew attached to Kirk over the course of this season. Walk in your trap, take over your trap. Doing the dances, excuse me, after the wins. 500 yards passing. Four touchdowns. Not once, but twice. And you get yourself in a situation where you're Kirk and you've endeared yourself to the Atlanta Falcons and their fan base. So it kind of sucks that we have to say goodbye this way. But at the end of the day, it's about winning, man. Come on. It's about winning. It's not about contracts. It's not about what's going to happen next year. It's not about thinking about the salary cap for the future. Leave that to Terry Fontenot and his people, right? Leave that to the Atlanta Falcons decision makers in the offseason and next year and trust that they're going to do what's best for the team. We cannot worry about this right now. Michael Penix Jr. is making his first start tomorrow. All eyes, all ears, all the focus, all the tweets, all the media needs to be about is Michael Penix Jr. I don't know why this story came out today, the day before Michael Penix Jr.'s first start. And in the Florio report, they were talking about the lack of transparency is the word I'll use on draft night. We all know the story that they called Kirk minutes before the pick was made and they didn't let him know about the situation that they were going to take Penix. And according to the Florio report, Kirk was less than thrilled about that, which I totally understand. And so maybe there hasn't been, you know, front-facing, everything's been great. But maybe behind the scenes with his agent and negotiations, maybe there was a little frost there. I don't know. But again, at the end of the day, that's not what we need to be worrying about right now. That sucks if that's what happened behind the scenes. We'll never know for sure. You know, we're not in those meeting rooms. We hear all the rumors. We get all the speculation. But that's between Kirk and the Falcons. That's not for us to worry about. Yes, there's a very, very good chance he has played his last snap in Atlanta. Almost certainly. But to talk about contracts and to talk about what's going to happen, you know, down the road after the Super Bowl and when the new league year starts and worried about $10 million kickers and worried about, you know, his base salary is only $27 million, so we could stow him away as a backup and do Dom, essentially the reverse of what we did this year, which is start Cousins and have Penix on ice just in case. Now you'd start Penix and you'd have Cousins on ice. No. All of that fodder is just that. It's just fodder right now. I can't spend the emotional capacity of what it's going to take to focus on that kind of stuff with this game tomorrow that the Falcons absolutely should win, by the way. Penix should be 1-0. And then you worry about Washington, and then you worry about Carolina. That's where the focus needs to be. So for me, my only reaction to this story is that it sucks that it came out when it did. Like, we don't need this garbage right now. The Falcons are fighting for their first playoff spot again in 7 years. Like, this is a humongous thing. And to have a Kirk Cousins contract story be hanging over the head of this, it's just like, nah, I'm sorry. I don't need that. 404-726-0929. And we got some calls with that. I didn't even solicit calls. But if you guys want to talk, let's talk. 404-726-0929. What do you think about all this? To me, this is just an unneeded distraction. This is nothing. I can't worry about it. Essentially, the Falcons have 3 playoff games in a row. Starting tomorrow, 1 o'clock at the Benz. James is in Gainesville. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, it's unrealistic. Atlanta's going to go to the playoffs because I think they're too far behind in the wild card race, and I don't think we're going to catch Tampa Bay and the standings to win the division. But I think, too, you know, a lot of criticism has been put on Kirk Cousins, and he deserves a lot of it. But I think a lot of the team is letting down as well. And he's taken the majority of the brunt for a lot of it. And like Young Wei Koo, for instance, has played real bad and cost him several games, not making field goals, and that ain't.
Wait, James, hang on a second. James, hang on. I'll let you finish. But I get what you're saying, but Kirk, it's not like Kirk was okay. Kirk was awful. He was playing like the worst quarterback in the NFL. He had 16 interceptions and 12 fumbles on the season.
Yeah, but, you know, some of these passes, like he threw to Drake London and that one game with Kyle Pitts or didn't catch the ball and stuff. I mean, he takes the credit for it if he drops the ball. I mean, he gets the incomplete pass, you know, not the receiver or the running back, but drops the ball. You know, it goes back on him, you know what I mean? And some of these throws, he threw it right in the chest and they still drop the ball. You know, I mean, it's, you know, so, I mean, you got to help him and make catches when you can, you know what I mean? Yeah, I know he wasn't great, but I think that he's taken a lot of criticism, a lot of a blame, you know, for what all's happened, you know.
No, and James, I get it, and I appreciate the phone call. And yes, you're right, Young Wei Koo. I don't know if Young Wei Koo is going to be back next year. He's missed a lot of damn kicks. I think he's missed 9. That's an astronomically large number for a kicker. I don't see that. So yes, you're right, and have Drake and Darnell and some of the guys drop passes. Come on, man.
That game against the Chargers, that wasn't you didn't lose that game because guys weren't dropping balls. You lost it because Kirk Cousins was throwing it directly to the opposition.
Right. I mean, again, we joke around about it all the time. In 3 calendar months, he did the following. Threw for 500 yards in a game. Threw for 4 touchdowns in a game twice. Threw 4 interceptions in a game. Lost 4 games. And didn't throw a touchdown in 4 games. That all happened within 3 calendar months. It's the craziest thing any of us have ever seen a quarterback do. It really is. It's insane. He went from playing like an all-pro to somebody that got himself benched in the span of 3 calendar months. From Kirktober to Benchcember. That's exactly what happened. 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, twice. 4 interceptions, 0-4, and then you get benched. All in 3 calendar months. I mean, we've never seen anything like this before. So again, it's time. It needed to happen. It probably needed to happen sooner. You're lucky you won the Raiders game when you did. You're lucky. That's a lucky, lucky win. And you know what? If you lost that game, your season would have been over. So by the skin of your teeth, you hang on. And you win. But at the same time, what was best for the team moving forward? And it was exactly this. It was exactly this. And now, for some Kirk Cousins article, dueling articles by 2 of the top insiders in the NFL, pitching 2 completely different stories about the fate and the future and the contracts about Kirk Cousins, I don't need this in my life right now. Falcons have three playoff games in a row. Three. You have to beat. You have to beat the Giants tomorrow. You have to beat. Have to beat the Commanders. And that's going to be a really tough task because that's a damn good football team. Both sides of the ball. And then Carolina. Don't look now. Bryce Young remembered how to play football again. Don't look now. If Michael Penix struggles, could Bryce Young beat him on any given Sunday? Yeah, I think so. 404-726-0929. But this article, man, get it out of here. I don't need this crap. Josh is in the A. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I think this was a good move. I think it was time. And honestly, this is why we drafted him. It was for this reason. And I kind of agree with what the first caller was saying. I think Kirk is taking a lot more flack than he needs to. He has looked terrible, but we haven't helped him at all. Like, pressure, the line, honestly, he's back there. He's not comfortable, man. And I think a lot of that is getting put on him.
No, but he also can't move, and that's...
He can't. You're right. But here's the thing. We got to help him with play calling. Our play calling in the red zone on 1 yard, we are so vanilla. You got to put some of that on them, man. And like everybody puts it on Kirk.
But Josh, let me ask you this: was it vanilla because of Zach Robinson's fault, or was it vanilla because they were watching what was happening and said, "Holy crap, we can't call any plays down the field"?
You got to kind of. It's both. Really, Kirk, you can't put it all on Kirk, though, in my opinion. Zach Robinson's play calling, there's games where he looks amazing. And I'm like, wow, we were 6-3. We were 6-3. And then all of a sudden, it's not just Kirk.
Well, the chicken all or the egg, sudden, Josh, the chicken or the egg conversation with Zach Robinson's going to be answered over the next 3 weeks. Because if Penix goes out there and looks like a stud and they're running a diverse playbook, then you know it was Kirk. If they go out there and they're stuck in fifth gear and they can't do crap, then you're going to know that Zach Robinson did not have a good first year as a play caller.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I 100% agree. But us as Atlanta fans have, like, we make it so hard on Kirk because it's not all on him. But he, like that first caller was saying, he gets all the blame. He's had to force it sometimes in situations when it's like we shouldn't be going for it that shouldn't happen. Like, there's just so many plays I'm thinking back on, man, and it's Kirk's looked terrible the past couple weeks, but we have put a lot of pressure on him and have not put him in a good situation.
No, Josh, so, good stuff. I love the back and forth. I appreciate the passion. Love it. 404-726-0929. That's how all the phone calls should be. 404-726-0929. Josh in the A, that's a great job. Guys, I am shocked by the amount of revisionist history that's already happening with Kirk Cousins before Penix has taken a snap. I'm shocked. What is going on? I get it. He was awesome. Take over your trap. Dancing on the sidelines. I get it. But guys, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL the past 6 weeks. Like, what are we doing? Why are we all of a sudden getting teary-eyed and misty-eyed for Kirk Cousins? It had to happen. Like, this, what Raheem gave him 6 weeks to figure this out. 6 weeks it's been since the Cowboy game. November 3rd. That was the Cowboy game. November 3rd. That date is burned in my memory. I'll never forget it because that was the last time he was good. One more before we take a break here. Ray is in Snellville. Ray, what do you think?
Hey there. These people are looking for clickbait, basically, with these stories about the Falcons. Kirk has just been absolutely terrible. I get people want to be sentimental, whatever you want to call it, to support him. But the same play caller that was with Kirk in 6-3 is the same guy that's there now. The number of, 34 runs and 17 passes was by what the team was forced to do. And I hate anybody losing their job. But I also hate as being a 12-year season ticket holder sitting in the stands and watching what was happening on the field. So Kirk, wish him well. I was on the ropes about my season ticket. I'm not being in the seats tomorrow, but I definitely will be there tomorrow, and I'm going to be cheering my team on, and hopefully Kirk lands somewhere else and goes well. But right now, let's rise up.
Yeah, Ray, appreciate the phone call. See, that's what I was thinking I was going to get exclusively. And it's on Twitter as well. A lot of people are obviously for Penix, but there is a good portion of the Falcons fan base that is not happy or felt that it wasn't the right time. I don't see how. I just don't understand it. All right, I see we got a bunch more phone calls. So 5 o'clock, straight up, because we got our buddy Will McFadden coming up next. Rob Harrison, Kevin Daniels, stay there. 5 o'clock straight up or call back in, and Dom will put you back on hold. Listen, I'm here. We'll talk. This is crazy. It really is. This is crazy. Between the quarterback switch, these articles coming out, we got Penix starting tomorrow, playoff games. It's madness right now with the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm here to chat about it with you, Chris Thomas, till 7.
Back to Chris.
This is the other side of the glass.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'll tell you what's poison right now. All these articles coming out about the Atlanta Falcons and stuff that, quite frankly, doesn't matter right now. The Falcons have a de facto playoff game tomorrow, and I don't need to be reading about Kirk Cousins' contract and what's going to happen next season. Back to your calls at the top of the hour. If you're on hold, stay there. If you didn't get in, 404-726-0929. Let's head out to the Wade4.com hotline, sort through this mess with our buddy Will McFadden from AtlantaFalcons.com. Will, two of the biggest NFL insiders with dueling articles talking about the future of Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, what they will do, what they won't do, $10 million kickers, $27 million in guaranteed money. What do you make from all of this? To the best of your knowledge, what do you foresee happening with Kirk Cousins, just so we could put all this nonsense to bed?
Chris, you know, I think, honestly, the safest way for me to answer this at the current present moment is I don't know. Just like everybody else, it seems, you know, you lay that out perfectly with the dueling reports. Usually, in my experience, when you have kind of one thing come out, as Schefter's report did this morning, you know, saying what the expectation was, and then you kind of read through that, and it looks like a lot of that sourcing came from executives around the league, but not necessarily within Flowery Branch, right? So I totally get where they are coming from, because if you look at Over the Cap, if you look at Spotrac, if you just look at kind of the language of Kirk Cousins' contract and you connect the dots, then yeah, you would say, all right, the way that things have panned out, given, you know, kind of the no trade clauses and they would have to kind of work together on that. Yeah, you could say that if you work for another team or you have a lot of experience in this league, then here's maybe where it would land. And it kind of feels like that was initially, you know, that first report. And then it's just right now, like, there's so much that could still be in play. There are still 3 games left to go. Anything could happen in those 3 games. So I think at this point in time, to say for certainty, here is what will or won't happen, you know, like, let's take it back 1 year. If we were talking on December 21st, 2023, and you had asked, hey, are the Falcons going to go out and sign Kirk Cousins and then draft Michael Penix? You know, like, I would have told you that you were crazy. And yet that is what happened. So I think kind of at this point in time, I don't want to mislead anybody. I think it's easy to connect the dots as Schefter and the executives that he sourced in those story was. But again, a ton can happen between now and then. So right now, I think it's really, truly a week-to-week thing.
Yeah, and I tweeted out earlier, it's like, at this point for Falcons fans, Will, it's like you dump your significant other, your boyfriend or girlfriend, and then you start worrying about who they're dating after you've already broken up with them. It's not something that's completely relevant right now when the Falcons have a playoff game tomorrow. That's just where my head's at with it. So all week around the branch, what was the vibe? How was Penix? How was Raheem in talking with the guys? What is the sense with the quarterback change?
Man, it was the longest short week of my life.
Right.
Coming off of the Monday night game that honestly, again, like this has been a line I've used many times and as so have a ton of people, like it was a win that didn't really feel too much like a win. And so then to come off the heels of that and everybody dragging in kind of bright and early Tuesday morning, even Raheem, as chipper and energetic as he often is, you could tell that it was like, man, we just played a Monday night game in Las Vegas, got on a flight, landed at 6 a.m. and came straight into work. So then to have the decision late Tuesday night to ultimately bench Kirk Cousins in favor of Michael Penix just started the busyness all over again. And honestly, you know, you ask what kind of the vibe was, it wasn't that different. And I give a ton of credit to Raheem Morris and kind of the organization as a whole and the leadership in the locker room for that. I do think that Raheem, I know he's drawn a little bit of criticism, I think, amongst the fan base for either waiting too long or not being, in their eyes, like fully open and transparent. I kind of think he has been. You know, I think from the beginning, he has done a really good job of walking that fine line between holding players accountable and throwing them under the bus. And if you look at, or let's use the sacks, for example, right? D'Angelo Malone had 2 sacks on Monday night. Like, he was a special teamer to start the season. They brought in Matthew Judon. You know who wasn't out there on that final possession for the defense? Matthew Judon. So you are seeing a culture where if you're not performing, we're going to find the guys who are, and we're going to put the best 22 starters out there who give our team the best chance to win. And that is exactly the message that the quarterback change, I think, sends in the locker room, is one of accountability. It doesn't matter how much guaranteed money you have on your contract. It doesn't matter kind of what you've done in the past. It matters what you're doing on Sunday. And it matters what we believe that you can do on the upcoming Sunday. And so that really, I think, has kind of galvanized the team a little bit. There was, you know, a little bit of initial shock when you talked to some of the players. Kyle Pitts says he was a little bit surprised, because I think just like the rest of us, they're aware of the situation. They're aware of what Kirk Cousins has done throughout his career. They're aware of the contract he was given. And that is, again, kind of why I think it took a little guts to make this move. But ultimately, I think it's reinvigorated, certainly me. Like, I'm very excited to go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium tomorrow and see what Michael Penix can do out there on the field. And after kind of rewatching some of his tape throughout his college run and seeing just kind of, again, the elite arm talent that he brings, the mobility, the pocket poise that I don't think he gets enough credit for, it's going to be fun. I think we're going to see a different style of offense. I don't think it's going to suddenly turn into the triple option out there, but it doesn't need to, because Michael Penix is great at playing from the pocket. You're going to see some deep shots. I'm really curious to see who he kind of connects with early on. So on the one hand, there's not much that I think has changed within the building from a feel point. But on the other hand, there's a little bit, I think, of excitement. Certainly you felt as the week went along and that initial surprise maybe wore off a little bit. The excitement really did begin to kick in.
Talking all things Atlanta Falcons with our buddy Will McFadden. Make sure you check him out on social media and read his work at AtlantaFalcons.com. You mentioned the game plan there, and Zach Robinson did say during the week that the full playbook is going to be available. I don't know how much they'll use it. Maybe that'll be determined on how much success they have early, but I know that you just said Michael Penix has all the physical traits and the tools, so do you think that it's going to be more of the same of what we've seen? Because the running game, Will, has been working pretty well, but now they have somebody back there that can do a lot of the things within the pocket, outside the pocket, and most specifically down the field that Kirk just wasn't able to get done the last few weeks.
Yeah, there are a few things that I do think. Well, you know, I was going to say kind of like the under center aspect of it, I don't think is going to be as big, but frankly, it hasn't been that big all season long, you know, and when people, I asked Raheem on Tuesday about kind of the mobility aspect in play action, right? Because they ran a couple of those play action plays, which is something that a lot of people have been clamoring to see Atlanta do, myself included, because that is just, in my opinion, an essential part of 2024 NFL offenses. You've got to have a kind of a dynamic play action package in the playbook. And I noticed just as they were running play action, it was kind of almost still like a straight drop back. You know, there wasn't any rollouts. There weren't bootlegs. They weren't moving the launching point all that much. And so I asked, you know, Raheem, like, what type of athleticism do you need for that part of your play action game to really come to life? And, you know, he ultimately said, hey, either, you know, Chris, you or I could do that, right? Like, you don't need that much athleticism
right.
to be able to roll out to your left 4 yards. But I do think we are going to see more movements from the quarterback position, not necessarily scrambling, but just changing that launch point than we have before. And I do think we're going to see a ton of pistol. We're going to see a ton of shotgun because Michael Penix didn't really play under center all that much in college. So you're going to see him back there, but I also wouldn't be shocked if they kind of use that to their advantage with some of these maybe read option types of plays, which certainly we wouldn't have seen with Kirk, or some of these quick play actions, right? A fake handoff to Bijan and then boom, is that an element of the screen game where you get it out wide? And they're just some of these other wrinkles. But one other aspect to this that I am really curious to see is Michael Penix was their scout team quarterback for pretty much the entire season, right? Which not only means he's going up against the number one defense, so he does have a lot of reps playing against a starting caliber defense this season, but it also allowed the offensive staff to see him operate in a myriad of different schemes and looks and plays because they're trying to simulate what their opponents are going to do on Sunday. So he has essentially played in like 14 different offenses like this season, and they have seen how he operates. And so I really wouldn't be shocked if there are a few different wrinkles in the playbook for Sunday, in addition to it being the full menu that they would have had for Kirk, solely because they've gotten a chance to see Michael Penix do some different things by nature of the role that he played for this practice squad.
On the defensive side of the ball, Will, we've seen, unfortunately, a couple of times over the last few games that the defensive secondary has given up big days to a couple of different teams. The Broncos, the Vikings come to mind. Have you noticed anything in practice? Has anything been said by Jimmy Lake and his staff about helping out the secondary get back to what we know they can be? Because the talent's there with A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, but they've just been burned by the deep ball more than I think we all thought at certain points.
Yeah, you know, it really to me was that the first couple of plays against New Orleans, right, the first half against Los Angeles with Ladd McConkey, and then certainly that Vikings game, right? The Vikings game is by far, I think, the worst performance for the secondary, but ironically it was an excellent performance, I think, for A.J. Terrell against Justin Jefferson in that game. I think outside of that, though, the kind of combination of mentality and scheme with the talent on the field has kind of worked the way the Falcons would like it to. You know, they do want to ultimately limit some of those explosives, which is why I think it has been so notable the times that you do have Jordan Addison kind of wide open walking in and Justin Jefferson wide open and walking in, because it really hasn't been that way all too often. I think that as long as they're able to have the communication down and there aren't any of those clear breakdowns in assignment or role, which doesn't happen often when you have Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates on the back end kind of leveling that communication, then they're going to keep stuff underneath. They're going to rally and make the tackle, and they're going to try to make an offense march their way down the field. With the recent uptick in the pass rush since the bye week, which has honestly been really impressive. I'm still kind of not sure how they've managed to have such a turnaround, but that is what I think they want this defense to look like, is putting teams in a third and five or a third and six, and then getting to the quarterback, pressuring them and allowing the secondary to play a little bit tighter than they might on first and second down. So it's going to be a little bit of a challenge on Sunday with Drew Locke if he is the one who gets the start out there, and, you know, all indicators look like he will be. He likes to go deep, you know, at Missouri, we all saw what he could do, and he's got a great arm. And then also with Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson, like there are some options in this passing game that I do think Atlanta needs to be keeping an eye on. But by and large, like as long as Atlanta doesn't go out there and make some of these mental mistakes, I like the way that the secondary has played for most of the season, even though the yards per catch and kind of those numbers would say otherwise. I just think that's a little bit of the nature of what they are schematically trying to do out there. And the pass rush has just been a part of that that has only really started to become effective.
You know, well, it's funny. We had Caden Ellis on Dukes and Bell on Thursday, and the guys asked him the same question. He said, "We absolutely have made changes, but I'm going to keep that in-house and let other offensive coordinators try to figure that out." So something's happened.
I need to go ask him then.
Yeah, something happened, but they're not telling us what. So, and whatever it is, it's working. So good for them. I mean, better late than never, I guess, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, again, if you can get pressure in Drew Lock's face, like I think you're going to be able to get some turnovers. And that is the element of this defense that was really working when they were winning a lot of games that kind of went away. And I asked Nate Landman about it. He said it was a number one priority for the defense. I believe I asked him just a couple of weeks ago down the stretch. So, yeah, if the pass rush and the secondary can work in tandem, I think you'll start to see a lot more turnovers on the defensive side of the ball as well.
All right, well, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We're all excited. It's Penix time, baby.
Heck yeah, let's go. Appreciate it, Chris. Anytime you need me, man.
All right, that is Will McFadden there from AtlantaFalcons.com. Make sure you give him a follow and check out his stuff on the team website as well. All right, when we get back, phones are going back open, man. Let's talk about it. These damn articles, I don't need this crap right now. I don't want it in my life. I don't need it in my life. Get it out of here. About Kirk Cousins' future and his salary cap implications. Falcons got a playoff game tomorrow. How are we feeling? You confident in Penix? You feel bad for Kirk? It is what it is. I mean, I was surprised. But if you guys are out there and you feel bad for Kirk and you want to express that, 404-726-0929, man. Your phone calls are next. Don't go anywhere.